This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, let's do a radio show. Welcome on in. It's the afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz, welcome on in. A big, big show this afternoon. We'll get into it all. Jack Fritz in for Spike Eskin alongside my guy, Ike Reese. What's happening, Ike?
Well, Fritzy, the one downside to being on YouTube is that people can actually see you.
Yeah.
And that means Spike could be out there watching the show today.
Sure. Not allowed to smile?
Well, unfortunately for him, he's going to see just how happy everyone is today around the office and at the station, particularly in the studio with you and I. Holla at your boy, Fritzy!
Man, poor guy. Poor guy.
You got the keys, man. Listen. Don't wreck the car today. Don't wreck it. We don't need to trade AJ for Patrick Surtain or anything. We don't need to do any of that.
Would never. We would never suggest such an idea, and definitely do not want AJ Brown to call.
But it is your turn to drive.
Sure,
today.
Sure. Well, speaking of big calls.
Yes.
Now, we got Eskin out of here. Perfect. Because we got Howie Roseman coming on at 3 o'clock today.
That which is perfect. Oh, you're right. Big dog.
Which is going to be awesome. Hopefully yes. He's recovered from his beer can to the head. Obviously, a lot of draft stuff to get into with him. And they're Super Bowl champs.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a pretty good way to start.
Yeah.
You know, get the bust ready in old Canton for Howie.
Well, the biggest thing, right, for me with Howie is, you know, he talks about the offseason not ending. Right? So
always,
we kind of feel like coming off the draft, we're like, you know, well, what else can the Eagles do? It's pretty much, well, be interested to find out. You know, and I know he's not going to give us his sort of playbook to what he's thinking about doing or anticipating doing, but be great to get his thoughts on areas that they improved upon. Do they still need to improve upon? He obviously had to replace a lot of talent on the number one defense. So, yeah, I'm excited about talking with what is his exact title?
Vice President of Football Operations?
President of Football Operations and the General Manager?
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically runs the franchise?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
all
you got to make sure you get the exact title right.
I'll just say GOAT. I'll just say the Eagles GOAT's coming on.
Executive Vice President and General Manager.
Okay.
The EVP, yes.
The EVP.
Executive Vice President and General Manager.
Always
make
professional.
Make sure we have that right.
Call him EVP Roseman.
I just want to know if he thinks Elliott deserved Eagles Insider of the Year. That's all that I'm trying to get to the bottom with Howie Roseman. The voice you heard behind the glass, of course, is Dan Wilson.
Hey!
Who was eating pizza rolls for lunch like a true 15-year-old.
Yep. Thank you.
My daughter's favorite.
Welcome to the
Nothing
show.
Nothing wrong with pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls.
Again, Buzz, you're going on to almost 30. Maybe time to put the pizza rolls away and get a big boy meal. But who am I to say? Who am I to say? But we start today's show with the Phils.
Yeah, man.
I tell you what, it's a good day to talk some Phils. Because last night was just a beautiful win. A beautiful, normal, stress-free, 4 perfect innings out of the bullpen from our lockdown aces, Jose Ruiz, Tanner Banks, and Carlos Hernandez. offense hit three home runs. Our players of the game, by the way, not to pat ourselves on the back.
How about that?
Not bad. Not man, bad. Kepler finally went yard. He's a gorgeous man, and he hits balls hard. That's what Max Kepler does. And we are officially a month into the season. You know, they're 17-13. The way they're talked about on these airwaves, you would pretend that they're 13-17 with all the amount of negativity around them. And Ike, simply put, a month into the season, are you more buying this baseball team or are you more selling this baseball team?
You would want to have this discussion today.
I do.
Team's playing well
right now. If they lost two straight, guess who's hosting the show today?
Right.
Buzz.
As it is, they won, what, four straight?
Yes,
right?
They have.
Four straight, right?
Take 2-3 from the Cubs this weekend.
Yeah, and the last two versus the Cubs, first two versus Washington. Let me say this. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not raining.
Not your style.
I'm not raining on people's parade. Although I don't think many people are throwing a parade today.
Not even me. Yet.
I still need to see more. Nice series win. They played well at home. It's great to see the ball leave the yard. All those things are good. Even with the bullpen last night. You're right. It was great to see them go out there, have some clean innings, and get out of a game stress-free. I'm not going to take that away from them. I need to see that more. I need to see that more. Listen, bottom of the lineup, starting to hit the ball well, right? Pretty much everyone except for Bryce right now is hitting the ball pretty good.
Boomer, not so much.
Well, yeah, he didn't play last night, so I tried to leave him out of the conversation.
Cassianos has cooled off a little bit, but overall he's been
fine. Yeah, and he got out to such a hot start. It's almost expected that he wouldn't keep that pace
going,
so I kind of give him a free pass. Good to see Schwarbs back to getting the ball out of the ballpark, back-to-back home runs. I was in the building last night there, young fella.
Oh, wow, man.
Yes.
Man, an empty nester truly starting to work his way over the ballpark
Man, we had an Eagles alumni day down at the ballpark.
So oh, okay.
A couple of old guys made it out. And,
nice.
We made it down there and watched the game, man.
Talking a little shop. Hey, good to see Schwartz back to Bryce, you know.
Yes, believe me, it was actually some baseball talk going on down there, man. It was. So, but yeah.
I'm sure you were educating all them. I mean, obviously you work with me.
Yes.
So it's just wealths of knowledge.
Well, here's the thing.
A lot of Tanner Banks discourse.
Oh, man, so much Tanner Banks talk.
Listen, and we had great seats up the third baseline. No, right there.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad, man. Not bad. In the suite. All the amenities you needed in there. Yeah, nice.
How long you make it?
I made it to the fifth inning.
Not bad. hey, that counts as a win if
that
you get to the fifth inning.
That does, man. Yes. I made it to the fifth inning, so I felt pretty good about that. I missed JT and Kepler's home runs.
Yeah, they added on late.
Yeah.
Kepler smoked that.
Well, I missed them live.
Sure. So you're still not there. Now, let me ask you this. Is there anything that could get you there in the regular season, or is this strictly just postseason dependent for you?
No, you know what? I'm not going to be unfair to the Phillies and say it's just strictly postseason.
Because there was a time during the middle of the Eagle season where we felt it, right?
Yeah.
Like, we felt that they're a dominant. I know they're 2-2.
You started to see it. Yeah, really, for them, it was after that Ravens, Washington, Rams sort of stretch. Yeah,
yep.
It was there. But no, I'll be fair to the Phillies. I won't do the whole I'm waiting to the postseason, although I am waiting for the postseason.
And we all are.
I still like enjoying winning baseball. And so I'm not going to miss out on at least soaking it in. It's this time of the year where they get to basically be at the forefront of our sports thinking and everyday being, what have you. And so I embrace that. This is a part of the summer. It's a part of this time of the year. It's great to have meaningful Philly baseball again this time of the year. So I won't just
like if they win 10.
I won't poo-poo the fact that they play well right now and say postseason only matters.
Like if they win 10 of 11 and they go on that stretch, you're not going to be like, "Dad, wake me up
no,
in October."
No, hell no.
Yeah,
nah,
which I think is that's a good way to go about
it. Yeah, nah, man. Listen, first of all. I want to see the team win, ultimately. I would much rather be wrong about my preseason feeling or what have you than anything else. So I'm perfectly fine with that.
Sure. 215-592-9494. After a month of the season, are you more buying or selling the Phillies? And, Ike, yes. I'm not here to blow smoke.
But I want to say, did I answer that question, though? Am I more buying or selling?
I'm
more selling.
More selling.
Just to be, so I gave you a definitive answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
I don't need to turn into a few good men here.
Well,
grilling you on the stand.
Yeah. I didn't know if you, you didn't get the answer. You kind of just let me just go through. Yeah.
I kind of got the sense of where it was going.
Come on, man.
Where it was going.
Yeah.
So I don't want to blow smoke and try to tell you that I think that they're the best team in the history of baseball or that they're the favorites to win the World Series. But after 1 month, I do feel more encouraged than discouraged. And I think that there's a couple reasons why. Listen, the offense frustrates me, and they certainly are more in the camp of, I got to see it to believe it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they might have found something with Stott at the leadoff spot. Getting him back to being 23 Stott, I think, is a big step forward because he's a good player. He's a damn good baseball player, and letting him kind of cook at the top, get on base early, steal some bags, has worked out so far. Trey Turner.
Yeah.
What?
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead and cook. Go ahead and cook. I'll come back to
you. You can react.
Well, I just want to say the whole Stott thing, I'm proud of you. You seem to have been accepting of it.
Well.
You resisted it a little bit.
So. I still have my questions.
There it is.
I want it to work, though. I want it to work.
Yes.
And hopefully he continues to do a great job.
Right.
My point is always more about the 7th, 8th, 9th inning, the more high leverage at-bats rather than the 1st inning.
Okay.
But also, no one's really stepped up and taken the job, and I think that Schwarber should be protecting Bryce. So that's kind of where I'm at.
There you go.
Turner,
you compromise. I like that.
Turner has obviously not hit a bunch of extra base hits. It's been a lot of slap singles, but at the same time, he hasn't looked like a disaster at the plate. Like he looks at least competent, and I actually think that getting these singles early and making sure he's making good contact, I think the power will eventually come. Like I'd rather he do this than try to swing for the fences all the time, because I think getting Trey on base and hopefully he starts running more and more, I think that's a good development. Schwarber protecting Bryce as he gets more comfortable in that spot, maybe these last two games something is starting to click there. Max Kepler is certainly looking like at least a competent piece. I mean, he's batting 260-ish now with three home runs. He's starting to – they made a swing adjustment before the Mets series a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and he looks like a better player. And I don't know how much to buy this, Ike. I'm not totally buying it. But, like, Johan Rojas doesn't look like he's lost at the plate. I mean, he looked like a couple years ago – it would basically be having a pitcher hitting ninth.
Yeah.
And he's not that. He's for a 9-hole hitter.
I agree.
He's not striking out all the time. He can't bunt. 100% cannot bunt. But he's at least doing more winning baseball stuff. In the field, he's going to have mental lapses. That's going to happen. He's going to have some mental gaffes. But he doesn't look like a waste of time or a disaster. And I just keep coming back to, there's good things going on with the offense, and all they're doing this with Harper not contributing really at all. I mean, he's down at 230. Not worried about it. If he's doing that in July, Ike, I think we're pressing the panic button.
Yes.
If he's still in the 230s. And Bohm, I refuse to believe he's going to be where he is as well. So, again, is the offense maddening at times? Sure. But I also think that under the hood, under the surface, that there is some good developments happening with some reasons for optimism with the offense.
Yeah, I hope you're right, man. I really do. I hope you're right. Man, you know, Bryce, yeah, I'm going to hold out faith that he's going to return to being Bryce Harper.
Sure.
Like he's going to eventually return to being Bryce Harper. So, yeah, I'm not as concerned, but, man, my antennas are certainly up with him, only because it's a greater fear.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's a greater fear if he doesn't look right.
Yeah. It hasn't reached Embiid territory where you're nervous every time that.
Right.
But I start to be worried about just the back. And he's played 14 years. It's a violent swing.
Yeah.
You know, are you starting to see some of the power being zapped from him? I hope it's not the case. But, again, he's got 15 home runs since July of last year, which is just not a lot.
Typical Bryce, yeah. And Yeah, I mean, I know he's never been necessarily a power hitter. He's only had 40 home runs once. You know, he's normally a mid-30s, low-30s type of home run hitter.
But I also I don't think he can be a 25 to 30 home run guy. Like, I still think 30 to 35.
You got to be 30 to 35. I'm with you. You got to be 30 to 35.
Because, and if he's hitting 25 to 30, then he needs to be 290 to 310.
Yeah.
Kind of average kind of player.
Yeah.
So the Bryce thing is definitely, I think, the biggest thing to watch for as we heat up here. But I think, again, overall, I have pretty good feelings about the offense.
Good win, though.
Good win.
Good win last night.
Good win. 215-592-9494. Are you more buying or selling the Phillies after the first month of the season? I do have some more points that I want to get to, but I mean, you got to see what old Buzz behind the glass thinks about the Phillies after 1 month.
Big fightings guy. He's a big fightings guy.
Well, he's now kind of a host here. Like, I mean,
he's getting his feet wet.
He's getting his feet wet a little bit.
I host twice a week on the weekend.
What hours?
So I've been hosting 7 to 11 on Sunday nights.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I'm not buzzed.
That's usually a Ricky shift? Is that the Ricky shift?
No, Ricky comes on after me.
Oh! Yeah. Wow. Look at you taking down a legend. Interesting.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Well, I just kill off legends or back
for
here
sure.
in the cruiser booth.
Well,
as we know.
What's your second shift?
Sometimes it's Saturday 7-11. Sometimes it's overnight.
You and Jolly.
Sometimes it's me and Jolly. Sometimes I got 8 to 10 a.m. coming up in a few weeks because Devin and Ruben are out.
Wow, you're really just you're being molded by some of the great radio minds.
That is absolutely correct.
Jolly and Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, man. Yeah, one from the best.
That's some dynamite stuff. So are you buying or selling this?
No, I'm still buying. I came into the season with the expectation this team would win in the mid-90s, and I have not moved off of that. The Mets series...
They're not winning in the mid-90s.
I don't...
Buzz, we're in like the 87 to 90.
No, I'll still say they're in the 90s. I'm still... You're looking at me like you're Mr. Philly's optimist. You think
he knows they're transitioning.
You're lowering the expectation already?
Everyone looks at me as a fanalist now. Not fanboy. Fanalist.
Do I need to show you their starts in some of the prior years and where they ended?
Well, this is their best start since 2006, Ike.
So why is it so out of the question that they end in the mid-90s?
No, it's I just don't feel mid-90s right now. And I think the NL is really good. So.
The NL is really good, and I acknowledge that. But I came in with the expectation that they're at least going to win in the 90s. Let's say that.
Okay.
And I have not backed off that. The bullpen absolutely needs work. The Mets are clearly in their head, and that's something that's going to really be an issue throughout the course of the season and in the postseason. But to your point, there have been positive developments, such as the Stott leadoff thing, such as the outfield does look significantly better, I think, with Kepler in it than, say, last year where you're starting Marsh and Rojas. I think... This team, you got to get more out of Trey, as you said there, Jack. But overall, this team is, I don't know, I think about where I thought they'd be. Don't know if I thought it would look like this necessarily. But I have not adjusted, I guess, my preseason expectations based upon what we've seen in the opening month.
Well, and I think that there's the other thing on top of where we're at with the offense is I do think the rotation looks legitimately awesome. I mean, I think Wheeler had the two bad starts, but he's been... overall fine. He's going to have blowups every once in a while. It just happens. It even happened last year. He was great last year. He had four starts where he got absolutely lit up, and it cost me and Ike a lot of money. So not that we're still bitter about it.
Hanging on to it or nothing, yeah.
Nola, you want to talk about a development. I mean, Sunday night, he manned up in a big spot on the road. That's some big stuff from Aaron Nola. Jesus Luzardo has been everything that we could have hoped for. And I think
been the best pitcher so far, yeah.
I'm thinking more. I thought Lazardo was going to be good just from the talent. He's better than I thought. He's better than I thought. And I was pretty Lazardo up. And they beat the Ravens the day that they traded for Jesus Lazardo. This is the biggest thing on my mind. So I'm a Jesus man. Everyone knows that. Taiwan looks better than last year. He's not a disaster out there. Sanchez proved he was healthy last night.
Yep.
He's back up to 97. Now he fought himself a little bit, but that's rust. And Rangers coming back on Sunday. I mean, rotation, lineup, the bullpen's a big question mark, but even they've kind of settled down.
Yeah, they're going to need it. Because I still, I mean, I don't look at it right now. In a rotation, you're going to have more faith in them than you do this lineup hitting.
Yeah, they're going to have to be carried
basis.
By the rotation.
Yeah, so, and listen, that's not much different than it was last year at times where they seemingly had the best rotation in baseball for two-thirds of the season at a minimum. So, yeah, listen, it's a great problem to have. I listened to the midday show talking about what to do with Ranger and
well, Giglio said, Giglio in all caps, they have to put him in the bullpen. Have you noticed the all caps Giglio thing that's been happening recently?
Yeah, he's emphatic. He believes it.
I know. But I'm just seeing an
you
uptick.
Don't like it?
I'm seeing an uptick.
Listen, Giglio, listen,
it's his season.
He's taking his game up to another level,
is.
Yes.
When is he going to trade Trey? When is he going to wave his magic wand? I can feel the wand talk coming.
He will eventually get to doing that at some point. But they're going to have to make some type of decision there.
For sure. For sure. I got some thoughts on it. 215-592-9494 to get in. After the first month of the season, are you more buying or selling the Phillies? Also, we have a next question today.
What you got?
As we often do on this program. And Spike Eskin is moving today. That's why he couldn't make it in.
I think
this is his second off day for this big move from North Jersey to South Jersey. I believe he's taking one more day.
There you go.
In the
it's a
middle.
Big move. Mr. Yeah. Paternity leave.
Yeah, but at least that's real. You know, I mean, at least that's trying to be a good father. I mean, what is this?
He's getting trying to be a good husband.
He's got movers.
He's got two dogs. Those are his kids.
I know, but he's got movers. You know,
that's
like,
true. Yeah, definitely need movers. Yeah, he's not physically doing anything.
He lifted some water and threw out his back for 2 weeks, and he still hasn't. Yeah. He's still ducking push-ups.
But I tell you what, though, you listen. I've dealt with movers, man. You need to be at the residence when they arrive there with your stuff.
Yeah.
Make sure it all gets there in one piece.
I'm sure he's thrilled at the Howie interviews today. I'm sure that he's...
Oh, yeah, he's probably... Yeah, no, that... He probably... Yeah, he couldn't get out of the moving thing, but he would have.
No.
Yeah, he definitely would have.
So, with Spike moving today, I want for you to give an answer to an everyday thing that you hate doing. Now, obviously, you don't move all the time, but everyone hates moving. I mean, it's a hassle for you. Mm-hmm. It takes up a couple of days. You got to move everything in. You got to figure out where it all goes. Everyone hates moving. Ike, do you have an answer for us on an everyday thing that
you hate doing?
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot.
There's
a lot there.
I feel like as you get older, it increases, too.
Oh, it definitely does. You become a little bit of a curmudgeon, and you hate doing anything.
Frankly, yes.
Yeah. You know what? I was going to go with something else. But then I realized I have to do something this weekend that I dread doing every year. And I actually been putting it off for the last couple weekends. I got to clean out the garage.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know.
The old Ike spring clean out.
Yeah, you know, you got to bring out all the patio furniture and all that type of stuff that you put up for the winter.
Sure.
Yeah. Once it gets to May, and now the family wants to sit outside.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, you're not giving away stuff.
No.
Yeah, okay. Because I know you also... Don't you every year you have like a big DVD collection and you try to decide if I got to get rid of it this time or not?
No. Well, I have a DVD collection I'm never getting rid of. Yeah, I still have that. Seriously, over 500 DVDs.
That's a lot of DVDs.
Yeah, it's a lot of DVDs.
Do you even
bro.
Have a DVD player?
I do.
Nice.
I do. I still have a dual
VHS player?
Yeah, I got the VHS and DVD player.
That was big technology back then.
Yeah, I still got that thing, man. I can't get rid of it just because I have
still
DVDs.
Still make the trip to Blockbuster or what?
Is there dust on it?
Yeah, it's dust. I'll clean it out every once in a blue moon.
That's good. Yes. Buzz, what's an everyday thing that you hate doing?
How about sweeping?
Just sweeping. Well, listen, I need a sweep tonight.
Not sweeping baseball. I'm talking sweeping up the kitchen.
So why do you hate sweeping?
It's just an everyday nuisance chore. You know, when you move out, you're the little fledgling who leaves the house. Now you got to be in charge of these everyday chores. It sucks. I don't want to sit there and sweep up dust. I want to sit on the couch.
Are
do
you
nothing.
The cleaner in your apartment?
No. No,
oh,
definitely
that's
not.
Why you hate sweeping.
Yeah. Or like doing dishes, stuff like that. Just
I
everyday
don't mind
tasks.
Doing dishes. Don't tell Jill that. I don't. Doing dishes isn't bad.
Yeah, that's why I have a dishwasher.
Well, yeah, but you clean them before you put in the dishwasher.
No, I rinse them off, and then I put them in the dishwasher. Why would I clean them before I put it in the dishwasher?
That's the point of the dishwasher.
Yeah, that's the dishwasher's job.
Well, you get a little bit off.
Yes, that's what I said. Yeah, you don't sit in there with a bunch of food stuck to the plate.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you clean your plate off, rinse it off a little bit, and then you throw it in the dishwasher.
Mike's very passionate about the dishwasher.
I am passionate about the dishwasher.
By the way, live odds on FanDuel for the Phillies to win more than 90 is minus 230.
Ah, well, you're a genius. We were pushing back on 95. That's what we were pushing back on.
Well, you said we were in the 87 to 90 range.
Yeah.
This is in the 90s.
All right. All right. Well, everything thing I hate to do is deciding when's an appropriate time to tip versus when it is not an appropriate time to tip.
Ooh, tipping.
Tipping is a tough one.
Ooh, tipping.
So I go to get a coffee every single day.
Yeah.
I go on a nice little walk.
Yeah.
And for about a year, you know, they didn't have the custom tip. Like, you know, they just had the regular thing. And then recently they put in new technology where, you know, they have the 20% if you want to tip 20%. But I was always tipping more than 20%.
Yeah.
So I was tipping like $1.50.
Yeah.
Slowly I'm transitioning it down to $1. Yeah. And then eventually, because I can't make that big of a change on the people that helped me out there.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell's going on?
He's short.
Started off so high. What happened?
It's bad.
Yeah.
But there's some situations where I don't feel like I have to tip. But I feel bad if I don't tip. Yeah. You know, it's a stressor.
Yeah, tipping is a stressful thing.
Because now they want tips for everything. Like just going and picking something up in the back. You're not even doing any work.
Yeah, I agree.
215-592-9494.
I'm trying not to go on a long diatribe here about tipping because I know people out there who work in the food service industry and things of that nature, they rely on those tips. So I understand that.
Yep.
I understand that. Really, the whole tipping thing is really it's the owners. It's lack of paying their employees.
Sometimes
they make you feel bad about it. They should just pay more.
Put it on the consumer. Put it on the consumer. And because you play in the NFL, everyone assumes you're just, you got so much money.
That's the worst when they're like, hey, Mr. Reese.
Good to see you.
That's a way of just saying, yes, I know who you are. Don't you.
We can look up how much you made.
Don't you cheap out on me.
Different money.
Have you gone full dad mode and you won't tip if there's like if they didn't refill the water enough or something like that?
No,
that's like full dad mode.
I'm not a bad guy, Buzz.
I don't know.
I'm for a guy that's not loaded. I'm a pretty generous tipper. 215-592.
Yeah, I'm in the over tipper department. Yes,
Buzz. As you get more famous, you're gonna have to start over tipping because people might know who you are.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
End up on a blog.
Yep. You can't have that.
WIP host under tips.
That's right. 215-592-9494 to get in. After a month of the Philly season, are you more buying or selling? I'm buying. Ike is selling on the other side. And again, Howie Roseman coming up at 3 o'clock. Excited to talk to Howie. An interesting report about Bryce Harper last night from Terran Hatcher during the game. We'll play that and react to it coming up next here on Ike, Spike, and Fritz on Sports Radio 94 WIP. I was confused as to why you were playing this for a second, Buzz, and now I got it.
I've been waiting all day to make this joke.
Yeah, it's a very Buzz joke.
Well, I'm still confused.
It's going to be May, because it's May 1st today.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, that's the name of the song?
Well, no.
It's going to be me, but every year online, people tweet this out.
Yep. Yeah, well, listen. It's also May.
Ike doesn't look amused.
What?
He doesn't look amused at all. And don't worry, Ike, on Sunday it's May 4th, which means there's going to be a lot of May the 4th be with you jokes.
Yes, I'm so glad that's Sunday.
And not during the show.
And not during the show and during the week.
Yep, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Speaking of Monday, BG Day out at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. Mm. They released a limited number of tickets. So you can go to 94WIP.com to purchase more. I know it's sold out, but there are some more. If you want to go and see BG Live on Monday as we honor Brandon Graham, go to 94WIP.com. Also, we will be out at the Great American Pub on Bridge Street in Phoenixville on Monday before BG Live. So come hang out with us. Enjoy Miller Lite specials as we celebrate Brandon Graham Day here on the station. So.
Looking forward to that. Monday should be a great time. BG obviously has been great to the city. He's been great as an Eagle, but he's also been great to WIP as he has been with us for a number of years doing shows, his Brandon Graham show, countless interviews. He's on in the mornings.
Saved the Eagle season with the Brandon Graham show last
quiet.
Year.
He's on in the morning with the morning show during the season. So, yes. Be excited to celebrate BG next week.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. And I don't know. I can't wait for it. And we'll be at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville before the show. I guess pregame BG Live?
Got to, right?
You got to. You got to.
I mean, it's Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo. You're right. You're right. 215-592-9494. After a month of the season, are you more buying or selling the Phillies? We'll get to this piece of audio from Bryce in 1 second. But Chris is in Port Richmond. What's happening, Chris? Chris?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Chris?
So I am definitely on leaning towards the buy side. I'm going to call it a little more of a holding because I'm already bought in for the Phils, mainly because of this Ranger Suarez coming back situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ranger coming back is nice. Now, the rotation's been good, so it's not like they need a huge lift there, but you're turning a really good thing into a possibly great thing with Ranger coming back.
Sure, and I think the reason, obviously I think the Phils would be better if we put them in the pen right away. However, I have a feeling the reason they're throwing them in that starting lineup is more of possibly trade bait come the deadline and maybe get that bullpen help. And then also as a backup plan in case another starter gets hurt.
Well, yeah. And I think they're going to come back and put him in the rotation for sure. I think they go six-man. The trade bait idea is interesting, Chris, because now on one hand you could say, well, you don't trade a starter when you're theoretically in a playoff hunt. But if they have a plethora of starters and it could fetch you something else to help, again, maybe the bullpen, I think it's something they may entertain because I think they tried in the offseason.
Yeah.
Sure. And you also have that Painter dangling towards the end of the season too. So I think that one of the reasons we didn't make too many moves to begin with was just for this, and hopefully they finally make a big deal at the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got some thoughts on that in 1 second, but what is something you hate doing, Chris?
It's got to be just folding and putting laundry away.
Yeah, that's a big answer. Ike disagrees. Ike's a big folding guy.
I don't know about that. Now, I do fold all my clothes. I do that. And in our house, everybody washes their own clothes. You fold your own clothes. Like, my wife does not wash my clothes. We haven't washed our kids' clothes since we taught them how to work a washer and dryer. Now, my son still just throws everything in the washer, whether it's colors, whites, it doesn't matter to him. Mm-hmm. It's all the same to him. He just throws it all in there. But
same.
They're his clothes, so it's not mine, so I don't really give a damn. He buys them buys his own clothes. But, yeah, the folding of the clothes is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Don't do it. I try to, and then Jill makes fun of me.
Yeah.
And then she just ends up doing it.
Well, you know what? I mean, socks and underwear are pretty much the only thing I have to fold.
What about shirts?
Yeah, I guess. Well, if it's T-shirts, some of my T-shirts, I just throw them in the drawer.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily fold all those.
Well, and you know my thought process on wrinkles.
Yeah, because you don't iron.
No, I would never. Don't know how to use one.
Yeah, I that's unbelievable. Yeah,
Jack would burn his hand off.
I hate irons. I actually hate because wrinkles come out. That's my thought process. So while it's wrinkly when I put it on.
Yeah, wrinkles come out eventually.
Agreed.
Not necessarily that day.
Well, listen.
I've seen some of your shirts. The wrinkles don't always come out.
You don't think my theory is...
Yeah. They may come out 2 or 3 or 4 days afterwards or what have you, but yeah, just because you put it on that day doesn't mean all the wrinkles fall out that day.
If it's warmer, maybe it's a little more humidity. That stretches out a little bit. Bang! Wrinkles are gone.
You know what, man? I've always been an ironer, man. I put crease in my jeans when I was in middle school. Yeah. High school, yeah,
it was too hot.
Man, I got an iron, man. I have to, man.
Nah, I hate it. Hate it. I hate folding clothes. I hate cleaning my room. Yeah. I'm me and Elijah.
Making your bed, you and Jill?
Oh, I would never make the bed.
Does she make the
bed?
It's
a waste of time.
Don't even start with the making of the
bed. I know.
Nonsense.
Like, no one else is going to see the bed. I just want to sleep in the bed. Just let me go. It doesn't need to be made.
How do you walk in and out of your room and your bed is unkept?
With a very clean conscience. Very fine. It doesn't bother me.
There's no way I could do that.
I know.
Does Jill make it?
Sometimes.
Okay, but inconsistently.
Yeah, well, she would ideally have it made every day. I just don't.
Every day? Yeah, like that's optional.
It is optional.
It's optional?
Yeah. Because
if that bed isn't made up 15 minutes after I'm out of it.
But why? What's the point?
I have no idea. All I know is All I know is when I'm the last one to get up, the bed is getting made up almost immediately. When Renee's the last one to get up,
you're in there.
No, that's what she's banking on.
Okay.
She's banking on that. But it takes me to walk in and out of the room, I don't know, 5-10 times, heavy breathing, sighing, like, oh, the bed still is not made up. Why is this bed not made up? She was in bed last. Like, she was there. I've been up. Yeah, don't get me started on the bed thing.
And again, yeah. I just...
Make your bed, man.
No, I don't see the point. No one's going to walk. I'm not having strangers over. They're not going to see my bed not being made. And guess what? I'm going to sleep in it that night. There's no one else going in the bed.
Unkept?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Why is
that
matter?
There's no way I would get in the bed after being out all day and it's not made up.
Why?
I would make the bed up just to sleep in it, just to get in the bed and mess it up.
My point is, if it's already messed up, I'm going to mess it up tonight. Why do I got to make it during the day? I don't know what to tell. Buzz, do you make your bed every day? No shot. No shot.
I do a semi-job.
My ass.
No, I do. I'll send you a photo tomorrow.
Great. Look forward to it.
It's not a ton of effort, but I...
Stop tier.
It's not a ton of effort.
No,
it takes literally 5 minutes or less to make a bed.
Sometimes I'll even let the sheet... Like, sometimes the sheet comes off in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I'll leave.
You just throw the cover over the...
Doesn't matter. The whole ass mattress hanging out. Yeah.
Whole ass mattress.
The mattress hanging out.
Over making the bed.
Yeah, I can't. And I've always been that way.
I know you have.
School, everything. Yeah. My roommate, when we was freshman in the dorm, I'm like, dude, the bed, man. Like, we got to do something with that bed, man. You just can't leave a bed like this all day. I don't want to go to class and come back. And the bed is still looking like this, bro. Like, what are we doing?
But why?
Because it makes the room look nicer and clean.
Totally agree.
That's why I make the bed up every day.
Jack just doesn't care. The aesthetic doesn't matter to
him. We'll ask Howie Roseman this coming up in 20 minutes.
You think Howie's making the bed?
I can see Howie being every day I can see Howie doing that. He seems very regimented.
Detail-oriented.
You got to be domesticated, though.
Yeah, I know.
See, the bed with me, it fits into the other stuff, too, that I'm sort of a pain in the butt about.
Right.
With the cleaning up stuff around the house, yeah.
Yeah, see, you and Jill, kindred spirits.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, it's
like
a thing.
If I put things back in the wrong places, and that
would drive me crazy.
I'm well aware.
I don't even want, listen, I can't even.
I don't know if we're ever going to live together, but I would be your worst nightmare.
Like, if the pictures were turned wrong on the TV... Or anything, I would notice it.
You might have OCD.
I might. With some things, yes. With some things, yes. Things just need to be in order, man. It needs to be in the right place. It needs to look a certain way.
No, they don't. Executive Vice President and General Manager Howie Roseman coming up at 3:00. But I thought it was interesting from Bryce Harper yesterday. Taron Hatcher in the middle of the game had this report. And I think it's semi-notable, and I'll explain why after.
There was a lot of work done yesterday and coming into today to try to fix certain things with Bryce's spring, namely with his swing, pardon me, namely his timing. I was talking to Kevin Long ahead of today's game. He said, look, yesterday he had an exit velo of 98, 102, and 105 on three balls that were fielded out last night. He got his hit on a bunt, which is a good sign for things to come because his timing's not there. Everything's too quick. When he's moving too quick, when his motions are too quick, he's not seeing the ball as well. He's expanding his strike zone. He's very communicative with the hitting staff about what he's feeling and seeing in his swing. So they actually went through a circuit today where all of the hitting staff got to pick a drill and Bryce got to pick a drill, and they went through each drill. Each one was focused on timing. It was a different drill meant to slow Bryce down.
So why I think that's notable is my perception of Bryce has always been, and this is not really a critique or anything, I think he is more of a, let me do my thing. I'll figure it out. I'm more regimented. I mean, he hasn't really hit on the field much. Like, he's usually a back in the cage, takes care of his own business. And I don't know for a fact. I just don't know how much he talks with the hitting coaches usually. But I think it's semi-notable that he's giving in a little bit and maybe trying something else as he tries to pull his way out of the slump he is currently in. And relying on the coaches and seeing if they're seeing something else, I think it's a nice thing for me to hear, because I think it's always sometimes a good thing to hear some outside voices rather than just doing what you've done your entire life.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it. But then I'll also say this. For somebody who's been successful doing it the way he's done it for so many years, this doesn't feel like there could be some sort of shaking of his confidence right now, to where he's like he doesn't have the answers.
Sure.
So now he does need to seek someone else's opinion. I guess on one hand it's a good thing, because you're not so stuck in your own ways. You're at least open to the idea of letting somebody else potentially help you out of this sort of funk that you're in. And that's a positive way to look at it. But also, the other way to see it is, there's a guy.
He's throwing his hands in the air.
Yeah, like,
I got nothing.
I'm wondering if my guy doesn't feel like he's wearing his cape anymore, his Superman cape. All right, there are times in the past where Bryce goes through a couple weeks slump or what have you, whether it's a power outage or he's just not hitting the ball well, not seeing the ball well, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still have the feeling of, it's Bryce Harper. Like, he'll figure this out. He'll fight his way out of it. And I still have that right now, but I've also, when if I see this, now I'm wondering, okay, is my superhero not the superhero he used to be anymore?
Yeah, and
you've talked about health and the swing and all those types of things. Like I said earlier, with him, as it potentially is with every great player you have on all our teams, when there's anything wrong, the anxiety is heightened.
Yeah.
Right? If Jalen has a rolled ankle, we're like, what?
Should we start the interview?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's you. Nobody else is saying that.
Not my guy.
But any other player,
well, Embiid.
We may not have the same. Well, any other player on the Eagles, we may not have the same level of concern, is what I'm saying. So Bryce being the star that he is, it's not the same if Cassidy's back is tight or such and such back is tight.
Nick Ripken?
We're talking about Bryce Harper, man.
Yeah. No, I know.
That's all I'm saying. So I get a little more concerned when the star player gets a little banged up potentially.
Yeah, and he's been a little mopey, you know, the last like weekish I think he was 2 for the road trip, which is not great. And you worry about, is he starting?
Oh, you mean to tell me he's mopey when he doesn't hit the ball?
Sometimes.
Imagine that.
Well, listen, there, at least he has a long pedigree of usually being great.
I know. I'm saying he does. He does. I know. I noticed you said long pedigree, too. You didn't just say pedigree.
Yeah. Well, it's a long pedigree.
Well, no, I'm just saying. The other guy's a little mopey. He also has a pedigree of being pretty good, too.
Yeah. Just wait till Bryce slams the helmet.
Yeah, but when Bone does it, it's bad. When Bryce does it, it's competitive fire.
I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that it is natural for these athletes to sort of mope when they don't hit the ball for a while.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
I know.
Okay,
I know.
Okay.
Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. Ike, I got a couple here for you. First,
what do you got?
After 1 month of the season, are you more buying or selling the Phillies? What do you think the percentage is at?
Four straight wins.
Four straight. People are excited.
People are excited.
We're getting the parade route started now.
Starting a little bit.
Yeah.
I think people feel good about the team right now, so they'll hold out hope. But it's not overwhelming. Let's go with 58% buying.
53% selling.
Wow.
Dude, people are down.
Still down.
It's pretty unbelievable. And quickly here, before we get to Howie Roseman, obviously at the top of the hour, who do you want the Eagles to play week one? Week one, the schedule release is May 14th.
Yeah.
I gave people three options.
Who'd you give them?
I gave them Lions,
okay,
Rams,
okay,
and Commanders. I don't think they'd put the Cowboys there.
Nah, I don't see that. Why?
I know.
Why wouldn't they? Yeah.
So I don't think they put Cowboys there. Out of those three.
Oh, you're going to put the Bears, huh?
Nah, listen, it might be the Bears, but I don't think people are getting geeked up for Ben Johnson.
Yeah, Eagles fans aren't. Yeah. At least I don't. Listen, we want an easy win.
Sure. Although, I don't know, man.
I'll take that.
I don't know. We'll see what Ben Johnson's got cooking up. Out of those three, Lions, Rams, Commanders, who do you want week one?
Hmm. I think I would go. See, we played the Rams last year. I think I'd go with the Rams. I think I'd go with the Rams. Because that way we can relive the great divisional playoff game, Snow Bowl. I think there's a lot more going into that game. Sean McVay really believes they should have won that game that day.
He does. Smart thing to sell his team.
So I believe we get a little more out of him.
Jared Verse also versus Eagles fans again.
Jared Verse, yeah. Like, so I kind of – and quite frankly, we may have to see him again. In January.
Yeah, that was really the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I know the Commanders technically, but, you know, that game felt more like it.
Why? Because it was tighter? And we make more out of that game being tighter than what it really was.
Listen, let's not let facts get away.
Yeah, we make that game being more tighter than when Saquon scored that touchdown. We pretty much, that game should have been over.
They dominated and almost for no reason lost.
Lost the game, yeah, I agree.
It would have been the worst loss in Philadelphia sports history.
I agree. I agree.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So
I think I'd go with the Rams.
I want the Lions, man. They've been chirping. I think they think that they were the better team than the Eagles last year.
They definitely believe. Yeah, you would get that from them.
Amon Ross St. Brown's been talking all offseason. He wants them. Yeah. Aiden Hutchinson would be back for them now. Yeah. So, you know, I think last year, if he's healthy, they probably beat the Commanders. But Lions-Eagles always felt like they were on a collision course last year. I want to see these two teams at full strength, what it looks like. And I think the Eagles would get up for it. You know, I don't think we have a game one letdown like we almost had in 18 after they won.
I hope not. Banner night is always tough, man.
It is, because people are conflicted. It's like we're happy, but also they're not playing.
Well, we're happy, but the players, they're I don't know if they're necessarily ready to go with the amount of intensity that we have for that first game of the season. Like, the players are still sort of easing their way into this.
You got booted
thing.
Halftime last time.
Yes.
Because you want to know why? Because we've got a backbone, Buzz. We have a backbone.
Well, and we had to wait through a lightning delay.
We did.
I remember that. Yeah.
That was kind of shocking.
Yeah, I remember that.
Seltzer came on in between. That Merrill was on, and then he had to call off, and then bang, there was Seltzer right before the ring ceremony. We were hot. All right, so
get the lightning out of here.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Eagles executive vice president and general manager Howie Roseman will recap the draft, get some thoughts on some of the free agent moves, and of course, BG retires. All of that coming up next with Howie Roseman here on Ike, Spike, and Fritz on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.